Yes, you hear sound. Welcome to Awakening. Hello, and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow. Hello, everyone. I'm not sure what was happening. My headsets and mic were on the fritz, not working, so I went through two of them and two computers. Hello, everyone from Cosmic D. Hello, everyone in the archives, and hello, everyone listening via iTunes. Great to connect with all of you. I'm your host and co-pilot here, Michelle Mache, and I really am excited about today's program. Lots to share, lots to get to, some great email questions. I do see callers on the line. I will get to you. If you want to listen via phone, that's great. The number is 347-539-5122. And if you have a question or a comment, just press 1 on the keypad, or you'd like a tune-in, an alignment, or reading, just check, press 1 on the keypad, and I will get to you. Lots and lots of stuff going on, and a lot of energy shifts. We are in a year of acceleration and activation, or I guess more aptly put, activation and acceleration. So some of you will be feeling either of those, some stabilizing, some destabilizing to activate and accelerate, some coming out of the activation and acceleration cycle for a while to stabilize. And that's a lot of what's happening this year in all areas of people's lives as well. So it's just not one area. I know a lot of people are focused on economy. That's one way that it's showing up. Also, obviously, relationships. So hello all in the chat room. Great to see all of you connecting in. I snuck in earlier. I want to share at the top of the program, and somebody can put it in the chat, that would be great. Otherwise, it will be on the archives. Definitely the emotional clearing work, the 5-step emotional clearing work. But for March, and I would say the better half of this year, to really emphasize on meditation or your meditative state, being able to align or attune in, and also being able to connect into the subtle energy and feel the resonance of where you're being guided or drawn to go, really, really important. My CD, Understanding the Universal Laws and Activating, that's the key word, the law of magnetic attraction, really important, very helpful, very beneficial, if you want, Will, at this time. Really, we are in a heightened, especially coming into March, we're winding in, March is going to really create a point of activation for many people and acceleration. So as one of my teachers says, get on ready. and not one thing I want to share is also to be aware of zappers, things that zap your energy, people and situations that are zapping your energy. Or just not really. I went through something, and I talked to a really good friend last night about it. As you're shifting and changing, and as there's these collective, local to global shifts and changes, a lot of people like to find little distractions, and they may want to distract you from your own unfoldment, whether it's an artistic, creative, self-expressive unfoldment, or unfoldment about you going deeper within so that you can attune more. I asked my guides this morning, I said, what is the best thing to tell people with all the changes that are going on and that will happen and things that are very extreme in nature? And they said, really, it's about connecting into their own inner core so they can hear or feel or sense for themselves what they need to do next or where they need to go. And because some things people are not going to be able to tell you or show, as a way shower, we'll be able to show you our way or what worked for us or a way that you can access what you need to know. Awakening the first link does not work. Okay, let's see. And Sylvia's putting discernment is so key. So I'm putting in the chat soul insights. Thank you for letting me know that it didn't work. Soul insights for spirit-led living. We keep some updates there on the shift of 2012 and beyond. Please let me know if that link works. Also on conscious inspired living, there's a lot of good information. Inspired living. Also, I'm just trying to do two things at one time. Also in the I do a forecast. Now, I'm not, unless you're coming to some of my workshops or you're calling in or some of these downloads, I just don't find it very beneficial to give people a whole year out or 2 years. I can do that if people want me to. However, what I am finding is in the moment, whether it's week to week, month to month, people know what to do, myself included. Because it does no good to know something that's going to happen in a year from now or predicted a year from now or 2 years, because we all have what we call mitigating consciousness. By our meditation, by our attuning and aligning, by our prayer, if you want to call it, also by us coming together in groups, have you ever heard, lawyers call the mitigating, the mitigating factor when there's a sentence. The mitigating factor makes something in law either worse or better. In other words, you did good service, so you don't have to go to the pokey or the slammer for 50 years. You only have to go for 20 years. Well, everything is mitigating consciousness in our life. It personally, and in other words, if I eat really well, chances are I'm going to be healthier. If I get good sleep, chances are I'm going to wake up refreshed. Sometimes you can not get good sleep and wake up refreshed too. So again, there's no absolutes here. However, the more that we're all coming together as a collective, and my guide said one is okay, two is good, but three is even better. Three or more. Get with your friends or family members. And I'm going to start putting out some of these attunement meditations. One of them is the alignment meditation or ascension meditation on meditation for everyday living, where you're accessing the upper chakras. And then also working with the sacred geometry, connecting in with our light body, or accessing that point, or allowing it to us to ascend to it, or it to descend to us, however you want to look at it. Now people are putting, you can come to my workshops. I do have some online workshops that are coming up that I've been in the year in the making, that go into all of this. It's been, in fact, the person that is the company that's reviewing it and editing it said, oh my God, Michelle, these are amazing. They're going to revolutionize people's lives. And because it took me a long time to do this, especially the first one. The first one is all about the shift. It's all about aligning to the new emerging consciousness and its tools. There's eight lessons plus a ninth lesson, which is a bonus lesson. There's affirmations in there. There's growth work. There's videos in there. There's attunement and alignment meditations. There's clearing work in there. It is an extremely wonderful, comprehensive. It's a version of me, a clone of me, and it's very affordable. Because it's a sliding scale from $10 to $100, so it's going to be very affordable. And I feel very blessed to have been asked to put together this kind of course. I'm hoping it's out in the next couple of weeks, and you can be able to have it for, I guess, a year. And really do the meditations. I guide you along. I'm there with you. There's text. I explain what is the shift, what's really going on, what does it mean, how is it affecting people, how is it affecting all parts of our life, our world, what can you do? I talk a lot about resonance, finding the resonance, tuning into the subtle energy, because that guides you to where you need to be or not be, need to be. So those of you that have concerns over where's my next job, or where am I going to be safe? Is the tsunami coming? Is the earthquake? What's happening? There's all those kinds of questions, and they're valid. But I got to tell you, no one knows the exact time of anything or how extreme or not extreme. And none of these changes that are happening are punitive. They're not punishment for anything. They're the, just like our Teutonic plates within our life shift and change, so do they within the earth, because the earth is an extension of us, and we're an extension or aspect of the earth. We're all these, you know, molecular cells that break down to frequencies and wavelengths and resonances. That's why the resonance is so important, because then you activate what you need to attract to you on a soul level, on a more expanded level. So that's where I'm interested in playing. That's my my joy and my passion, is to assist in that alignment, and so that people are tuning in, knowing what they need to be doing, where they need to be, and it is kind of minute by minute. It's not planned out. You know, there is obviously an individual and a collective destiny, but there are a lot of different manifestations of that. There's a lot of different ways that things can play out. I will tell you, this year is also really the year about, this year, next year, about tuning into your soul gifts. And I know a lot of you have heard this, your soul gifts, your soul qualities, connecting in what are you really meant to do, and linking with like-minded individuals, you know, whether it's for some amazing creative projects, whether it's, you know, work-related, whether it's personal, you will find a lot of people connecting. It's all about relationships. It's really all about relationships and what you do with those relationships. But make sure that they are ones that are life-enhancing and supporting you, and that are not caught up in old 3D dimensional drama things of you know, you have to do this or you have to do that. It's really not about have to. I mean, there's a sense of maybe purpose or mission or joy to help somebody, or that you want to do certain things, but it's not because you're indebted. In fact, it's really about a freeing up. This Aquarian energy is really about freeing up, and especially as Uranus gets into Aries on the next couple weeks, that is a lot about freeing up so you can express and experience more. Okay, so before we get to the callers, I do want to touch on some things, because, and I hope she's in the chat room. Light, are you there? Because she asked me to touch on the universal laws. And I do have this, again, the CD, Understanding the Universal Laws and Activating the Law of Magnetic Attraction, which is, you can get it on Self and Light or CD Baby, which really goes through this type of esoteric wisdom. But what I can share with you is there are quite a few universal laws, but the main ones that you want to really focus on right now are really the loving law of allowance, allowing of not getting caught in extremes of this is bad, this is good, this is evil, they can't do this because I want to do this. Really allowing what others are choosing to play out. See, this is a tough one, because you're going to see people, you know, I had a wonderful meeting the other day with some great people, and that one of the people was saying, oh, I feel so, I see what some family members are doing, and I just can't help them. They don't want to listen to me. What do I do? Well, now is not the time. You know, it's the old paradigm of proselytizing and trying to convert people. This is not about converting. In a way, it's a wonderful, a wonderful sense of honoring and love, to honor what other people are creating for themselves, even if it seems like something you wouldn't want to live through, or you think that it's not very, you know, life-enhancing, or it's not going to really help them. You just have to love them where you can and try to understand, or if you can't understand, just see that they're connected to their own higher self, their own divine self as well. So whatever they're doing is valid for their path, or if they're off path, it's only on this dimension. So you have to put your attention and focus on what others are doing, because a lot of times that's a way that we hide. We all know that. We've done this before, right? So you've got to ask yourself, am I hiding by being too involved by what other people are going through or not going through? That's not to say that you're not going to have care. You're still going to have issues. You know, we're in the harmony through conflict. We're still going to wonder, you know, have emotional situations or what do I do, or call a friend, what should I say, what should I do, what do you think, is this the right action? We're still going to have to meditate on things. We're still going to have to go through that emotional aspect of our being. However, not in a way that is deterring from our path, and that's where you need to know if you're too involved in other people's business and what they're doing or not doing, is that the right path for you? Are you off path in that sense? The other thing is the law of resonance. Being aware through the subtle energy where you're being drawn to, what are the openings for you? What's opening for you? What do you see opening? What is in front of you? Whatever is in front of you is what you're meant to do, because what's in front of you will lead you to the next, to the next, to the next. So it's trusting those openings. It's trusting that inner guidance. Then, of course, there is the law of magnetic attraction. However, you're not going to really activate the law of magnetic attraction unless you're in resonance. So you need to find out or feel what is in resonance for you, what is essentially right action. Where do you need to be? What do you need to be doing? Not by what you think you want on an ego level. But one suggestion that I have for people is really, and I do this myself, I do not make major decisions without first, I ask people, I ask guides, I ask people that I work with, I ask my teachers, but I go into meditation and to see and feel, where am I being guided? So if you're not getting that guidance, then the time is not now. Don't try to push it from an ego perspective. See, the ego either wants the status quo, or it wants you to make quick changes so that it knows. It's trying to seek control. But when you're living more spirit-led, you are not necessarily going to know, the ego part of you is not necessarily going to know what's coming up. You're going to have to trust the higher self. You're going to have to trust that expanded awareness or expanded consciousness of the all that is. And you receive that through the resonant field that we all are. You receive that flashes of insight, intuition, inner knowing, a gut knowing, an intuition, but it needs to be emotionless. If there's an emotionalism to it, that means you're not in a clear state, so you're reaching your information through emotionalism. It won't be something that's really, I have to do this, or it's not going to be doom and gloom, dread, or, you know, amazing exhilaration. There's going to be a quiet calm to what you receive and a sense of resolve or inner knowing. Even if there's fear there, like, I don't know if I can do this, you'll just know, this is right. This is right now. This is right action. And it's very grounding, the way the information comes through. So many people are trying to create their reality or draw into them from the ego perspective or the ego mind by focusing on LOA, Law of Magnetic Attraction, and you know, whether they're vision boards or dream books or creating something like, I know where I'm supposed to go. I know what I'm supposed to do. I want to get this. I want to draw in this guy to me or this girl to me. And it's all from the ego perspective. Because we're in the age of the soul, those manifestations do not have key precedence right now. We're moving out of creating from the constructed ego. Also, because the ego is we're creator beings, whatever level we're creating from, whether it's the higher self or the lower self or the ego personality or the soul and being spirit-led, you can create things and draw things to you from a lower harmonic frequency, from the ego or even the constructed ego. I remember years and years and years ago, I worked with someone, a multimillionaire with multiple companies, multimillionaire over and over, because it must be, because each company was worth multimillions. And they came to a crossroads in their life, and we did a lot of inner work and a lot of clearing, a lot of the five-step emotional clearing process, and really they were interested in their getting more spiritual integration. And they came to a level in their work where they said, I never really wanted any of this. The only reason I built all of this was to get my parents' approval. And this man actually thought of just dismantling everything. And I said, no, that's a great realization, but just stay with what you're feeling. And it doesn't mean that the businesses, even if they were made from the ego personality or be out of a wounding, it doesn't mean that it's all bad. You don't want to characterize it like that. But you can have a different relationship to it now. So it just shows what we can create out of wound or create out of wounding. It doesn't mean it's bad, but what it does mean is this year is now the time to take a fresh look, reevaluate where you are. And if something is created out of wounding or out of ego, it doesn't mean that you can't still enjoy that creation, or it doesn't mean that what you created you don't like or don't enjoy, but you can now have a different relationship to it, a different understanding that, boy, I created this out of this wound or need to be approved of or need to be loved, but I do like this, or I do like parts of it, or maybe there's things some of you can let go of that were created from a former self of you, a former version of you, that it's no longer of resonance or no longer bringing that deep sense of joy and inner fulfillment. And it's okay to let those situations go. It's okay, whether it's clothes, whether it's people, whether it's lifestyle, it's okay to let that go. It doesn't mean that it was wrong in the past. It's just created from a different version of you. And to allow the more expanded version to come through, you need to open the space through meditation to feel and see what's resonating for you now. That's how you're going to know your true direction. That's how the puzzle pieces come together, and that's how you move into synchronistic timing as well. So activating that law of magnetic attraction through resonance, that's the missing step. That's what gets you your true manifestations that really are an outpicturing of your soul, extension of your soul path that connect you to your soul design. It's all vibration. It all comes from a sensing, a knowing. But it is beyond the ego. It's beyond the template of the ego. It includes the ego. You know, the ego may not like the creation in the beginning, but after a while, it'll acclimate and say, oh, I kind of do like this. And again, they're all aspects of the same. They're all aspects of us. They're all aspects of the all that is. But why not choose to connect in and follow that part of you that can see and feel the bigger picture and that is actually in the co-creation of the bigger picture, instead of the part that only can see the smaller part? It's like the internal GPS. I mean, I may know there's a route that I always take, you know, to get to the mountains, and I know this route and I love this route, but maybe my GPS says there's traffic up ahead. Go a different route. So can I trust that inner GPS? That's, I guess, what I'm sharing with all of you, is how can you more trust that inner aspect of you and let it be revealed? And Sylvia in the chat is apparently, all is revealed at the right moment when we need to know what we need to know. Yes. Yes. You can't, even, I mean, as I'm trained as a shaman, I'm a mystic. There are things that I've known for many, many years, but they don't always play out. And one of my teachers used to say, what you know will live out differently than what you think. So we think of something one way, but it lives out in another way. And we don't necessarily know because we're always shifting. Our consciousness, we're allowing more and more consciousness through. And as there's more consciousness, that does change the outcome or the focus, even if it is a destiny issue. Even if it is something, quote-unquote, meant to be, the way that it takes shape and form is altered or constructed by awareness and consciousness. So there's so much that we have. Our own resources within us make us such empowered. That's our power, our empowered creativity to alter shape and form, to come together in a way that is more life-enhancing, in a way that is more fulfilling, in a way that serves all. That is where the empowerment comes in. And you can see that in some of the things that are going on, some of the challenges with the revolt, the revolution, to create more evolution. You can see the power of the coming together. You can see the power, the empowerment of connecting through the inter or inner net, the ethernet, the astral, the ether, to come together. And from that resonance, that's where you need to ask, hey, send me this, or I need this or that. Help me with this. Once you're in resonance, once you allow the resonance through that meditative state, then you ask. That's why they say seek first the kingdom or queendom. It's not about someplace outside of ourselves, but seek that first, which is eternal, which goes on and on. Seek the spiritual substance. And from this, all else shall be made clear. And so to connect in to that aspect and to ask from that place, you will get and receive what is more in alignment. So, Light, I hope you get this. I will speak of this more. We will dive more into the universal laws, but how to apply them specifically to where you are now. It's like a singer. Here's a good example. It's like a singer not doing their scales and doing a contest or concert. You have to clear your voice. You have to get in resonance before you speak or ask. They're really one and the same. Otherwise, the voice is cracking, right? So take the time to get into resonance. Take the time to meditate, to align, to attune in. And then from that space, from the expanded consciousness, from the witness self, the observer self, that's where you ask. All right, so we're going to be getting to calls. We have a Skype call. And hello, Skype, caller one. Hi. Did you have a question or a comment? You're welcome.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if you see anything coming up from my mom in terms of her job. She's worried that she may lose her job. There's been a lot of changes going on. There's some people at her work that are giving her a hard time. And do you see an outcome to this?
Yeah. Now, first I'm going to ask, I do need your just before I tune in, because I'm going to need your name. Everyone, call in number for questions. Let me just give this 3475. Let's see, let me put it in the chat. 539. It's hard to do this when I'm channeling. 5122, and I've been in meditation all morning. And then just press 1 on the keypad for questions. Okay, so I can tune in for you. What is your first name, please? And then also your mother's name.
Okay. Hello? My name is Gabriel, and my mom's is Angie, Placida Angie. They call her
Gabriel Angie. Is your mom shorter or small?
No, she is about, I would say, 5'5".
Oh, 5'5". Well, that's kind of, okay, a little bit. Is there another, an aunt or somebody or close friend that's around her right now? I feel like she's going to be seeking some help or assistance. It's from a woman friend, or it could even be someone from the other side that's coming through right now, actually. And I feel somehow like a mountainous area around her. I do feel that she's feeling that there are going to be changes. I do feel in the workforce. I don't feel right away, but I do feel that I don't know if she's a boss or she's befriended somebody. I don't know. I do feel that there is a lot of almost like they feel like she's on the outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and she is a boss.
She's not. Oh, that's why it is. Okay.
Yeah, and her employees are giving her a really hard time. They're trying to, like, kick her out and get rid of her, get her in trouble.
Get her outed. Yeah. That's what I'm feeling. Yeah, the boss. The thing, because it feels like she's not really connected there. I do feel somebody talking with her about what's going on in her position. At the same time, I do see her looking for another job. I do feel she has maybe least amount 6 months, probably another year. But I almost feel like it's going to be her moving because not wanting to. She's going to feel she's not supported by the upper, the management. And yeah, does that make sense to you?
Yeah. Is she going to have any financial problems? She's really worried about that. And, you know,
I know, like that's her main concern. Well, but your mom is very smart. I feel that she's, before she makes, she's going to have to bite her tongue on a few things because I feel the support she's looking for, she's not going to totally get. So it's some kind of meeting that's coming up. Some of the way she's handled some things, what she feels that she needs to be backed up for, she needs to have that support. Because I keep seeing it continuing. It's like she's on the outside or the outskirts. What this is alienated, what this is teaching her is to be more comfortable not being liked but just doing her job and doing it the best that she can. I'm actually, Gabriel, feeling that, and I'm going to ask the guides as well on this, I'm actually feeling it's more her deciding to move on or getting something else that she's even focused on the side. And someone that she is going to talk to, I feel that could have actually been working there before, maybe a year or so ago, that she's going to ask in regards to doing something else. Because it's going to be her not liking those conditions. I know right now it seems like she's really wanting to stay and hold on, but I do see her getting to a point, especially when she doesn't get the support, where she's going to say, I really want to, I can't take this anymore.
She's worried about losing her, I think what's keeping her, she's worried about losing her retirement and the money and the time that she's put into there. Is that going to go to waste? Is she going to,
no,
you know what
but
I mean?
Can't she transfer or something? Because I do see her moving on eventually. Is she able to transfer?
I don't know. I'm not completely sure.
Unless it's early retirement, I'm seeing. Let's see. What's coming up with Angie in regards to her pension, right?
Yeah.
Well, I do see that. Is there a possibility for her for early retirement?
Not right now, but, you know, I mean, that I guess that depends on, you know, what her boss thinks. Because I think if she quits, she won't get it, but you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they'll work something out to where, you know, she's able to get it or something. I have no idea. But that's her main concern.
But I'm not feeling the boss very supportive of her.
Yeah, well, I think they're afraid. This is where she works is on a reservation, and they have their own, like, you know, set of rules and their own council, so they kind of boss around even the bosses, you know? So I think everybody's
okay.
Like...
Is that why I'm seeing? Is she near mountains?
Not really. They're hills. They're not really mountains.
Or hills,
yeah.
That's what they are in the background. Okay, because I kept seeing, like, okay, hills or mountains in the background. Well... I don't know. See, I feel like she's going to have to ultimately just, like I said, bite her tongue with some things, not be able to speak up as much as that she is. Well, I more see her choosing a different way.
Okay.
Honestly, I do. I think it's going to get so, and she's not getting the support from the boss. She is right now a little bit, but there is an instance that's coming up. I don't know if it's May, June. It's definitely not immediate, but it's something that I feel that she's going to want that support in, and it shows her not getting the support, and that's where I feel she really starts looking elsewhere. Does this at all have anything, because I keep feeling banking around your mom, a lot to do with administration and something with funds or money. And maybe that's where she's going eventually.
Yeah, maybe that's where she's going, because she doesn't really deal with any of that right now. But,
okay. Someone is going to offer her another type of job. I just do not see her as, like, you know, 60, 70, 80-year-old woman working there and getting a retirement. I just am not seeing many, many years there. I'm just seeing she's going to have to make a tough decision. Not immediate, but it does show a tough decision coming up. Do I still want to be in this? I can't do this.
Yeah.
And she is going to seek to make a change. Because I just even see some not even just verbal, but very nasty stuff going on. And I just feel it's really going to beat her down. And when she goes to expect this support, I just see the boss kind of mushy, kind of caving, not really, you know, saying, well, everybody is reporting this about you. There's not much I can do.
Yeah.
Because I feel like for some reason they don't want to lose the workers for some reason. It's like their workers are more important than the administration.
Yeah, well, it's because her boss, the people above him, are part of the tribal. So it's kind of like they, whatever they say goes. So my mom is kind of stuck in the middle and doesn't really have a say. I mean, these girls have really done some terrible things. You know, they'll get in her face. They make threats to her. I mean, they do all
No, I see that. No, I'm telling you, I see that. I see the nastiness. I see there could even be not just threats, but, you know, I don't know, something put in her desk or locker or something. I feel like there's could be. It's scary mischief. It's kind of, that's why I'm saying she might even be scared of her life down the road. You know,
yeah,
of leaving work.
She comes home crying all the time.
Yeah, but that's why I'm saying, Gabriel, I feel that she's going to have to make that tough decision. I feel like she'll get some money out of it when she does go. I'm telling you, I feel like there is something coming up where it's just too much for her, that what I hear, fear for her life, and she's not going to get the support from the management or administration or the council, if you will. Because they just feel that things would just work themselves out, that let them, however they work out. And your mom has a bit of a different way, a different approach.
She'll be okay, though?
You know, she will be okay, but I feel like she's going to have to make the decision to move on.
Okay.
It's going to be her decision. But it's going to get, sometimes, you know, we leave something that we think is all of our answers, you know, whatever level, and where we go to sometimes is even just so much better. I just don't feel she's going to be, because I don't see those women leaving, and I just see it getting more extreme, more intense. It's going to be okay for a little while. It's never totally okay, but it's going to less intensify, because I always feel like every day there's something. But I feel what's going to really get your mom is she's going to feel like no one's helping me. I don't have any support. And they know this, and that's why they keep with this.
Yeah, exactly.
You see? So.
But the whole life thing, she doesn't have anything to, she don't have anything to worry about that. It'll just be a fear of hers.
Fear.
You know.
Well, it's not having the support. It's the fear of not having the support.
But I mean, the fear that she has for her life or anything, that's just a fear. They won't actually do anything. I mean, because they have done stuff to her car before. And,
well, I know. That's what I'm seeing. I know. I see the tires. I see stuff put in there. It's something that I don't know. I feel like she's coming out of building near the car, and if I feel like it's like she's finds herself alone with one of them, or there's a realization that, again, it's just an out picturing of being on my own, alone, no one's here, no one could help me. And I don't see this person doing anything, but it's all in the eyes. And there is going to be more of the shenanigans, the nasty mischief with the car or her property, taking things or breaking or putting, I don't know, I see even something like a bloody, I don't know, it looks like a Kleenex or tissue or something.
Yeah, she actually had some angels missing from her jacket. She puts angels on her jacket, and they came up missing. And
well, that's gonna stuff is gonna continue. What I suggest to her and you is getting my alignment meditation, which is an ascension meditation. You can just download the MP3, whatever, iTunes or wherever. And when she's in that expanded state. Because what she needs to do, she's contracting, and we all do this. When we're in fear, we pull in or contract in, and we become smaller. But she needs to, and I actually worked with this meditation with people that were going through years ago. I worked with a group that was having, race problems. People were, like, attacking them. I mean, really, big time, and putting bombs in their house and this and that. And this changed the frequency of drawing that in. And from that place, if she can just connect into her higher self, and it'll lead you through it, but she needs to raise her vibrational frequency so that she's not on the same level as them.
Okay.
You know, it's actually a form of shape shifting vibrationally, so that you. I've done this a lot when I don't want to. I'm walking my dog, or I'm in the supermarket, and I don't want to see somebody. I don't want to talk. I'm inward. I change my vibration so they don't see me. Or, you know, I missed somehow, you know, whatever, down the other aisle, whatever. But I feel she needs to start doing that, bumping up her vibrational frequency through her own form of meditative prayer and hooking up to the higher self, you know. She can even do that meditation and see them hooked to them their higher self so that they can receive more, higher level of consciousness and raise their own vibrational frequency. See them hooked to their higher self, see them in that state of being so that she's connecting to them more from the higher self than from their fear and resentment.
Could I
but
also
she'll
do
make
this?
A decision. Yes, yes.
Okay.
You can do it.
Do this for her,
Yes, you can. I mean, it'd be good for her own empowerment, for her to do. She could just do the meditation, and she doesn't have to do the other part. It'll lead her to that. But you can do the other part and see your mom connected to her higher self. See her protected, not collapsed into fear. You know, it's the difference between being a little bunny or something and you freeze, the squirrel freezes, or walking away. And so what we're saying is for her to just energetically be walking away. Not freezing.
Okay.
Right now she's freezing.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you for calling in. All right.
Thank you.
And
thank
let
you.
Me know how it goes, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Blessings. Well, apropos that our guest today is the author of The Magical Path, Conscious Dreaming Exercises for Healing and Growth. Wendy Haley is a shamanic healer and author, and she's a practitioner of indigenous healing methods. And I will bring her on. Hello, Wendy. How are you doing?
Hi, Michelle.
Welcome
I'm good,
program.
Thanks. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
Good.
Great to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah. So let's dive in a bit, because people always want to know, how did people get on their path? What was their awakening to their own gifts and as well as their training? How did you awaken to this part of your path?
Well, I can give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of that.
Yeah, exactly.
We only have so much time.
Just a little peek.
I know.
Well, I mean, to put it succinctly, about 12 years ago, I had a spontaneous visionary experience. Didn't quite know what was going on. I found myself, I was very much awake, but I found myself transported into the body of a woman who I didn't know, and I was kind of like a kind of vicarious hitchhiker, consciously going through her experience while in this sort of dream state, but it was unlike any kind of dream state I'd ever been in before. It wasn't like a nighttime dream. It wasn't like a daydream. It was this really intense kind of experience. And this woman who I was kind of had access to, she was being led down this hallway in this vision to her execution in the electric chair. And so I went through the death experience with her and was just totally blown away. And, of course, as I was having this experience, I was kind of, you know, my conscious mind, my Wendy consciousness was in the background kind of questioning, is this real? What's this about? And, you know, very skeptical. But then another part of me was extremely intrigued by, you know, what is going on with this? What is this? And I didn't really have I had kind of a, what I always call like a Hollywood version or view of shamanism at the time. I didn't really understand what a shaman was. So I didn't even think that, I didn't even make a connection that I was being, you know, that was my call onto the path, rather, the shamanic path, and until much, you know, a few years later, when I actually ended up studying shamanism by, you know, a series of synchronous events that led me to study. And then I was able to look back and say, wow, that experience was really kind of the beginning, because it planted this really intense seed for me. And then that experience was followed by a couple of, or several others that were equally as intense and all involving me going through death experiences while being awake and having, you know, very physical experiences in response, you know, as I'm having, you know, it's not really happening, but it felt like it was happening. So in a nutshell, that's kind of how it began.
Now, going back, what were you doing before this? What was leading up? What was your life before this?
Well, I mean, career-wise, I was probably at that point a few years into my practice as a psychotherapist. I was trained, you know, in clinical psychology. So, you know, that's kind of where my head was at. Was, you know, very intrigued by human behavior and emotionality and that kind of thing, but you know, highly skeptical too.
That's what I'm wondering. Were you?
Well, I was starting to open up. I was starting to open up spiritually, and what, you know, because I was a kind of a card-carrying atheist from the time I was 12 to the time I was like 24-ish when my mom was diagnosed with cancer, and I didn't want to believe at that point, because my version of atheism was that when you die, that's it, there's nothing. And then when she was diagnosed, I didn't really want to believe that she wasn't going to exist anymore when she died. So I started looking into my ancestry, which, you know, mm-hmm. I have some Cherokee blood. And when I looked into that, the Native indigenous perspectives, that made a lot more sense to me. So I'd already kind of opened up the door to looking into that. You know, everything's imbued with spirit, and I like that idea. But I wasn't on, you know, full board yet. It was more or less like I'd said, seeds had been planted. So did I lose you? Hello?
Wendy?
Yes?
Yep. But I lost sound. Okay. Your mother had cancer and you, and card-carrying atheist. So you really... quite a bit back. So what I'm hearing from this is mainly your focus was more of the psychological
and not so much
the spiritual. But you were starting, okay.
I think it was probably leaning more towards that, although even when I was in grad school, I was rejecting a lot of the theories I was getting, thinking that there's got to be a better way to incite change in people than what they were, you know, proposing in grad school, in the theories, the psychological theories. I was thinking it's not cutting it for me. Just intuitively, it didn't feel,
mm-hmm.
feel like there's got to be something more. And lo and behold, there was.
Here's the question. One of my teachers always said it's about asking the question and then it's answered. Mm. So you were asking, in a sense, internally, it sounds like.
I think I was very hungry. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know the answer was going to come the way it came.
Right.
Surprise.
Surprise, exactly. So after this hunger and kind of keeping on, then you had this visionary experience.
Which I didn't tell anyone about.
Oh, you didn't?
Oh, no.
So what did you think was going on there?
I didn't quite know, but I also knew that, you know, as a trained psychotherapist, that I was delusional. I was seeing and hearing things
right.
that weren't there, so of course I wasn't going to share that with anybody. I shared it with my now husband. I talked to him about it, but not anybody else.
So you kind of kept it with it. And what was his thoughts about what was going on?
He thought it was cool. So he was very supportive of it. Yeah, he was kind of thinking that he wished he had an experience like that too.
So when was your emerging? So if you kept this for a while, and obviously it sounds like you probably went on with your training and what you were doing. Did you think of this visionary experience quite a bit and wonder what was going on, or did you just tuck it away? How was that unfolding for you?
I probably tucked it away a little bit more than, you know, I would revisit it every once in a while. After it happened, I did write everything down because at that time I was in the practice of writing all my dreams down, so I just kind of threw this experience in my dream journal. But it was probably months later, maybe less than a year, I'd say, that I ended up I was looking for some space to hold a workshop, and I stumbled upon this place, and I was living in Denver at the time, where they had a woman who called herself a shaman who at this particular place where I was looking at their space, and I decided to rent the space, and I said, so what do you guys do here? And they told me about the shamanic stuff, and I said, that sounds intriguing. Sign me up for a session. So I went for a session with her apprentice because it was cheaper. And that's when I started having the other experiences, the other visionary experiences, was on the shaman's apprentice, her table. And that's kind of when the connection was made a little bit more directly, like, all right, because this reminds me of that experience I had that last time. It's something about this woman, what she's doing, the rattling, or she's opening up some door for me it was still kind of spontaneous, but it was sparked by something that was going on in this session. So that's kind of how the connection to shamanism started.
Mm-hmm. And then from there, did you decide I want to seek more of this?
Yeah, kind of. I ended up studying under the shaman woman there, and kind of learning how to intentionally vision, and I did that. I did that for a bit. It seemed to come pretty easily for me, and so I very intrigued by it. But it wasn't like a real dominant thing in my life at the time. And then I ended up moving from Denver, and I discontinued obviously my studies with her, fast forward. I don't even know how much longer it was, maybe a year or two later, and I ended up studying under Hank Wesselman, who's written some pretty amazing books. I don't know if you're familiar with Hank.
We've had Hank on he's a friend of the programs and of mine.
He's been on our program probably
three times, four times, and we highlighted him in our magazine, Conscious Inspired Living,
Hank's
ago.
Hank's my guy,
yeah.
Hank is my who I studied under, yeah.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so that's when
things
really took off.
Okay. And the reason why I asked this quite a bit is because a lot of people have and are starting, and more people are starting to have more of these spontaneous openings. And I find it very, especially on this program, is my opening happened at pre-birth. I mean, I came in this way, so my path developed quite a bit different coming from having these kinds of gifts and abilities from the get-go. But I find it's really important that people hear from people that were not in this, or might even, like you say, you have different beliefs. You might have, you know, card-carrying atheists who say, you were
for
going
a period,
the,
yeah.
in the psych, for a period. Yeah, but it's important that people hear this, because I can't tell you how many people I, whether from the show or just even personally, say, gosh, I didn't even want to do this, and now all of a sudden I'm having these dreams, or I touched somebody the other day and they said, oh my God, you healed my, you know, headache, or light was coming out of your hand. So it's important, I feel, for people to hear that, yeah, it's possible, and it is, and it is really happening when this happens. You know,
yeah, things are cooking. Things are happening.
Yeah, it's your awakening. And what would you say, Wendy, to those people, because you've gone through it, that this begins to happen? What it, from what you've gone through and where you are now and what you know now, what do you think can really help people? I mean, obviously you've got your book, The Magic Path. You know, that's a, it's a great workbook. But what would you suggest to people will help them, especially when they have no framework for this?
Yeah, because that's really what Hank helped me do, is to that's probably the biggest gift he gave me, was a framework for what I was experiencing, and then the Hawaiian philosophy to kind of put it all together. So, I would say to folks that what's been really helpful to me, besides getting a framework in physical reality, the thing that's probably been most profound is connecting with my own personal helping spirits. And we all have them. They're all sitting there waiting on the other in the dream time, just waiting for us to connect with them, so that they can be of service to us and help us on our path. And that's been the biggest gift, because, you know, I think the human experience can be a very lonely experience, that no matter how you try to explain what you're going through, what your experience is, that no one will ever quite understand. I mean, you know, because they're not you. But if you can connect with helping spirits, which is a very shamanic idea, which is the hallmark of shamanism.
Helpers.
Connecting with these helping spirits so that they can offer you their, assistance and support to help you get through this. So that's one of the big things that I've noticed in my life, is that that feeling of being really on my own is not so much there anymore. I feel like, I got this entourage who has my back. And so I've learned to get to this place of trust, which is, to me, it's bigger than faith. It's this really, really nice place to kind of sit in, knowing that, I got my folks, and we all have our folks. It's just a matter of connecting to them. And that was one of the main reasons why I wrote the workbook, so people can have that direct experience themselves.
Excellent. I love that. So helping people to get that direct experience.
Exactly, because it leads to transformation. Yeah, once you've connected to the other reality, the spirit world, the dream time, whatever you want to call it, once you've gone there, you're not the same. It changes you.
Yeah, it's interesting. I myself was interviewed on something a couple weeks ago, and someone asked me, what do I feel really helped me in my path? And I said that spiritual connection and a connection to my guides, because once you have that, you know everything's going to be okay, and you know that you're guided.
Yeah.
And so, right, to be able to connect with that. And let me ask you, with the changes that are upon us now and what is coming before us, how important do you feel that is and will be in the coming changes for people to be able to do as you're saying now?
My belief is that that's actually what this shift is about, is that it's asking us to reconnect not only with ourselves but with the spirits in the world, the nature spirits, to get back to that kind of, I think what Black Elk referred to as that primordial spirituality, and that's that, is that the direction we're going in? I'd like to think that is the direction we're going in, and that primordial spirituality being the shamanic kind of technology, the ability to connect with spirits.
Other worlds.
Yeah, and it for the benefit of yourself and others. And I think that's where we're headed.
Mm-hmm.
Or at least
so
I'd like to think
into that.
That.
Yes, yes. I'm with you on that. I think that's what it's about. I think we've gone as far on the other as we can, you know, that other road.
Well, the material, yeah, the materialism is breaking down. I mean, everything's in chaos right now. I talk a lot about chaos. Every system is in chaos. So it's all these systems that we put in place to try to manipulate and control our environment is just not working anymore. I think that's part of why those systems are breaking down, so that we can get back to basics.
Oh, I like that, back to basics. Yes. And what inspired you to write the book, The Magical Path? What was your inspiration?
Well, to offer, like you kind of already said, to offer people that direct experience so that, you know, because I think everyone has the capacity to connect with the dream time on their own, that we're all wired to do this. Not that everybody wants to become a shaman, because I think that's it's a pretty tough road. It's a huge responsibility.
Yeah.
But I think that everyone can use the technology to be able to really, I mean, your growth can take off in a really significant way. And it's entertaining as hell. I mean, going to the dream time and connecting with these characters over there, I've had a great time. You know, it's not always easy, you know, because what you perceive are aspects of yourself. So you know, you might see aspects of yourself that are a little challenging. But I'm all about, let's face it, let's do it. And the workbook offers a gentle way to do that. So,
and one thing that and you touched on this a bit, but one of the things that you know, touch upon also is that this whole, the 2012, the prophecy, which I look at as just one way of looking at it. It's really about the calendar and about time. But what are your thoughts, and you touched on it a little bit, but saying about, you know, back to basics. But what do you feel is going to happen or is happening?
Well, I think that no one knows what's really going to happen. I think we're kind of creating that as we're going along. And, you know, it's like I got my popcorn here and I'm eating it, waiting to see how it's all going to unfold. Because we're all kind of doing this collectively. But I also, what I think is that here's I'll try to do my personal take on this shift in a really brief nutshell again. And that is that I believe human beings are like 95 to 99% unconscious when we're awake. And so we're just these, you know, fleshy buckets of habit. So we're going around thinking and believing and doing and reacting and feeling in the same ways over and over and over and over again. Just not aware that we're doing that, that, you know, that we're just kind of repeating patterns over and over again, and that possibly we're shifting into becoming more aware, and that what I believe, you know, we're in new territory. Our solar system's in new territory in the galaxy, and it's more intense. It's almost, to me, it feels like a pressure, like a tension that's pushing down on our planet, every planet in our solar system, causing you know, changes and shifts and what it, I think it's having a big impact on, like I mentioned before, all the systems on the planet, and how I see it is that all of the weaknesses are being brought to the surface of every system, whether it's a global system or an individual system, like one person. And it's bringing the weaknesses so that they can be to the surface, so that they can be addressed and then dealt with, and hopefully increase awareness along the way. But if we ignore it, I think, you know, it's going to come back around and kick our asses a little bit harder each time we ignore it until we finally, like an anvil over our heads, we get it. So that's
and you can feel that, can't you, with the intensification of energy, can't you? It is pressure. You do feel that.
I've been feeling it for like 10 years, and it's getting really intense, especially.
It's getting more intense.
Last couple of years.
Yeah, it really.
It's uncomfortable.
It is. It really. It's obviously, you know, a lighter energy in the sense of more expanded or faster moving, but it is more intense.
It
really
is more. Well, because everyone's kind of in turmoil because of all of the stuff being brought to the surface. You know, it's we're kind of living in this soup of all this turmoil of you know, because I believe that the outer world is a reflection of the inner world, and so you got, you know, almost 7 billion people on this planet with unaddressed stuff that's coming to the surface. So we're just kind of swimming in all of this stuff, and it is heavy.
Do you find too, Wendy, that this? One of my clients said the other day they felt like a shadow door opened and all the shadow material came up. Do you find that there's more? With this energy, more stuff up, more people stuff up, and even on an aspect of shadow material, whether you want to say life-enhancing or non-life-enhancing, but just more stuff is up right now with this influx of this energy.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. A lot of it is shadowy stuff, you know, the stuff from our unconscious. Like I said, that stuff that's been unaddressed. Those aspects of ourselves that are a little bit more unsavory or you know, or hurting or whatever. It's all bubbling to the surface.
It's all bubbling. Now, also, let me ask, because you say, what, the 7 billion people, okay, so they're feeling this energy as well, right? I mean, they just don't know perhaps what to ascribe it to. Or are you feeling that, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think you'd have to be comatose not to notice that something is changing. something is amiss here. Something is going on. But that's just me.
So having a spiritual or esoteric understanding, and again, esoteric, knowing what's going on perhaps below the surface. Or above the surface, wherever you want to feel it's coming from, within the surface. Also, I think can be very helpful so that it's just not this random chaoticness, but that it is a, you know, systemized, if you will, breakdown of, like what you said earlier, except it's not working, where those weak points are.
Right.
But there is a system to.
And that's really. You know, going a little bit deeper into what I think is going on is that very thing you're talking about. It's interesting. It's fascinating, actually, that so many people are being drawn to practices that bring their focus inward, such as, you know, the resurgence of shamanic journeying. So many people are interested in that, and yoga and meditation, all different kinds of spiritual practices people are being drawn to. And I think because that's where we're headed. We're headed to this, you know, instead of trying to manipulate our external environment, it's all about the internal environment where you actually have control. The external environment, we don't have any control of that stuff. We just can control how we react to it.
Mm-hmm.
But our attempts have been, you know, over and over again to try to control the external stuff. And I think again, it's that anvil over the head. Maybe we're going to finally get it soon that we can't do it that way anymore. We got to go within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, access those internal resources with the help of our helping spirits and forge ahead in a very grounded way with a lot of clarity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know if one of my guys obviously has a law background, but they told me at one point, they said, you know, it's mitigating consciousness. You will have to remember that it's not everything etched in stone, but by us all going within, connecting with our spirit helpers or spirit guides, doing, you know, various forms of meditation, as more are also awakening and living more conscious, that is mitigating the, not only what's going to happen, but the way that things unfold, where and how they unfold. Things don't have to be as extreme, but it's all coming from within. It's not necessarily, like you're saying, it's not necessarily about what's happening on the outside or external. It is by that going within.
Yeah, and that maybe the external world is just a reflection of the internal world, and if you go within, then, wow, what do you know?
Well, yeah, then there's the shifting, right? There's the shifting. If more people are going within. Now, let me ask you one thing, too. Before you had this, your first awakening to these realms, when you look back, did you notice anything different going on in your world, or do you feel that it Do you feel subtle changes, or do you feel that it just, boom, kind of happened, you know, out of midair, so to speak?
Huh. You mean at the time, was I aware, or looking back?
Yeah.
At
yeah, looking back, did
or
you?
Looking
yeah.
back, yeah, I see it was all beautifully orchestrated when I look back. You know, at the time, I was kind of like, I felt like, it's interesting because I had ended a relationship, a long-term relationship, by saying I there's something that I got to do, and I'm not sure what it is, but I don't think I can do it in this relationship. I need to be free. I need to go be free and do this stuff. and it was like not much later that I had the first visionary experience. So it was like closing that door allowed me to open this other door, but there was this sort of this knowing that something was cooking, and I didn't quite know what it was.
Sure.
It was strong enough though to say, you know what, this I won't be able to do what I need to do if I stay in this unhealthy kind of thing I got going here. So I needed to end that so I could open that up. So I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of where I was.
Yeah, no.
So, but it felt like all
very
of this,
powerful.
All this, everything felt very brand new at that time. I remember, and very exciting, and like things were falling into place. That, you know, that clicking of like things were locking in, and it felt right.
I love what you're saying about the closing the one, and you just knew, I'm not going to be able, something's coming. See, I find that so critical, so important, so exciting also. But I feel that these are the things, these are the kernels of amazing insight that people that are steps ahead can share, because these are the things that very often sometimes people miss. And it's that critical beginning. It's, you know, answering the call. You heard it. There's something. You didn't know what... what particularly it was, but you knew somehow this other thing wasn't going to be of resonance and allow that. God, that's magical in itself. That's amazing.
The thing is that's scary, you know. And I think, you know, in talking to so many people who are at that point in their lives when they're, you know, they're kind of at that crossroads point, like, you know, I'm in this situation. It's comfortable. I know it really well, but I'm not happy. I'm not content. And I know there's something else out there for me, but I'm afraid to take that leap. And I think that's what, you know, if I hadn't taken that leap, I think, you know, I wouldn't be talking to you on the phone right now, you know, having this interview. things would be much different. But I talk to a lot of people about the beauty of taking risks. You know, that's really where the growth is doing the very thing that you're probably petrified to do. And how that just opens things up for you when you find the courage to do that. And that's when it's nice to have those helping spirits to have your back so you don't feel so alone when you're taking that leap, not knowing where you're going to end up, just stepping into gray.
So if I'm hearing you right, a big part of this seems to be to ask for help.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Well, yeah, the protocol in the spirit world is that the spirits can't intervene without an invitation. So they can't, because we have free will. So
you have to
invite them.
Yeah. So in that asking, very powerful. But now, and in that asking and working with the spirit guides or your spirit helpers, getting that assistance, what on a... this dimensional, or let's say a logistics level, is also, do you find helpful in all the people that you've talked to, and as well as in your own path? What else seems to be helpful when someone's on that, what we call dweller on the threshold, or on that crossroads, and deciding, do I go through or do I not? Do I turn this way or that way?
Okay.
What else seems to be helpful?
Well, I think another, what is really powerful medicine, for anyone, is to go out into nature and spend a little time with some tree friends or by some water to help you gain that clarity, so you can get to the place where you can make a really good decision about how to proceed. You know, because I think, you know, making a decision from a place of fear is not the best way to go. It usually leads to paralysis. And so you want to, if you want to really get clear, you know, I think going out into nature and just, because it, you're not going to be the same when, as when you, you know, when you approached your friend in the in nature as when you are leaving. Does that make any sense? Like, like 5 minutes out hanging out in nature can do wonders, is what I'm trying to say.
I love that. That's grounding. Great. That's great. Grounding, that suggestion. And I think, too, sometimes I'll go on my little kind of city walkabout where, and no agenda in mind, but I've had a lot on my mind, I start looking at even the supposed wild nature that we have, whether animal beings or trees, tree beings, and the squirrels, the ducks, the raccoon, and pigeons are another one, amazing, or seagulls and crow, but also for their adaptability. They just so adapt.
Oh, yeah, you could. I was just
food,
thinking,
right?
If you have a dog or a cat just hanging out with your animal friend, and they have a lot to teach us about getting into the moment and playing and, you know, chilling out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you hit the nail on the head. They can be great role models for us.
What great role models, yeah. Yeah, I did that this morning, too, with my dog, Yoshi. And I had things I had to do and get, and all of a sudden she got a stick and she wanted to run around. And so I thought, that's it. Just in the moment, it's play right now. Just
there
play.
We go.
Yeah, and you're right. It just shakes stuff off somehow. It just, you know, seamlessly moves us into another vibration and another mindset. Now, one thing I want to ask you, let's say somebody is drawn to this and they want to open up more of this aspect of their being. And let's start with dream journeying. What advice or suggestion would you give to somebody that wants to embark on this, or one thing that they can at least start at, let's say, at home and test this to see, is this the right path for me?
So is this where I can insert my shameless self-plug?
Yes, please.
Well, you know, I wrote a workbook that has an audio CD.
Listen, I am the queen of tools. I love tools. I don't think you can get through this path without your spirit guide, your spirit helpers, good teachers, good workshops, but you've got to have something at home that you can do when, you know, everyone else is gone, right?
Yeah. And if you're interested in shamanism, you know, exploring that, I wrote this workbook with, you know, for any experience level whatsoever. So the most practiced shamanic journeyer can use the workbook, to someone who's never even touched it before. And using sound to help you go into an altered state, it's the safest, easiest way to get into an altered state. Everyone can do it. It's just a matter of getting out of your head and putting your head to the side, which is really hard for us Westerners. But it's doable. And not to mention, it's a really deep form of meditation. So even though it doesn't feel like, you know, traditional meditation where you're emptying your mind or trying to focus on a mantra or whatever, you know, you're going to this other place, and like your experience of time gets really, you know, it is really changed. It's either feels like it went by in 2 seconds and it was actually a half an hour, or it feels like it was 4 days wrapped up in a half an hour. So that's my suggestion would be to, yeah, I mean, a cheap and easy way would be to get my workbook and check it out. I mean, I wrote it so that it wouldn't get your left brain too engaged. I just wrote very brief chapters just to kind of introduce the idea, give you the basics, but the bulk of the book is exercises, just 20 of them that, you know, each one, you go in order, and the next one builds off the previous one, and it's takes you on quite a journey.
Wonderful. And again, the book is The Magical Path, Conscious Dreaming Exercises for Healing and Growth. Our awakened guest this wonderful Wednesday has been Wendy S. Is it Hallie?
Hallie, yeah.
Hallie, wonderful. And Wendy, Hallie. And the website I've put in the chat room is allthingshealing.com. Is that
I've written some articles for allthingshealing.com. My website is lucidpath.com.
Oh, I'm glad I asked. Okay, I put the other lucidpath.com. Okay, so that's lucidpath.com. Yeah. I've done some lucid dreaming. That really, you are in that very aware, awake, altered state. Okay, so for more information from Wendy Halley, or you want to check out her book, The Magical Path, Conscious Dreaming Exercises for Healing and Growth, you can go to thelucidpath.com. Wendy, thanks so much for being our awakened guest today and sharing a bit of your path and a bit of your insight and understanding as well.
Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Yeah, it's great. Love to have you back at some point as well. All right. And thank you, listener participants, for being with us. It has been a wonderful connecting and sharing. Thanks for working through with the sound stuff as well. And again, our guest today has been Wendy Halley. Her book is The Magical Path, Conscious Dreaming Exercises for Healing and Growth. Good tools. I'm all about the tools. And it's good to study and try a lot of different tools and see what works for you. But the main thing is to use them, right? Also, if you would like to email questions in or anything about awakenings in regards to GEC, the email is awakenings@selfandlight.com. For personal work, info@selfandlight.com. And if you'd like to get on the email list or newsletter, that is also info@awakenings@selfandlight.com. All of those. And the blog, Soul Insights for Spirit-Led Living. Again, thank you so much for your questions, your email comments and questions coming in, and thanks so much for awakenings and living in this awakened state. We're going to end with a little liquid mind. And Awakenings airs every Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time. For more information, you can email awakenings@selfandlight.com. Until next time, continue to shine your light, share your insight, and keep awake.